In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. A great philosopher of ancient Greece, centuries before the birth of Christ, said something that I'm sure has proven true down through the ages, and this is something that I have absolutely no doubt that many of you will remember from your school days. Socrates said, "The unexamined life is not worth living." And this has never been truer than in our own modern times. You know, today's prevailing cultural norms can swiftly obscure the meaning of life in the bat of an eye. All we have to do is watch the news to begin to obscure, slowly but surely obscure in our minds, the meaning of life. You think about what we see. We see a constant war being waged by terrorists with brutal insensitivity to the dignity of human life. We see widespread abortion, which slays the young with, again, brutal insensitivity to the value of human life. Populations starve and live in ignorance while their own leaders oppress them and wealthy nations turn their backs on them. The pornography industry and the media are rotting our minds from within. Religious persecution is still the norm in vast tracts of the earth's surface. Corporate science has begun tinkering with the building blocks of human life. I could go on and on, but you know the litany, very different from the litany of saints, which we just heard completed a little while ago. But these dramatic examples are not the things that are the most dangerous for our souls. I submit that things like busy schedules, which obscure our relationships with the people that are the most important to us, material pursuits, which blind us to the inner life of the soul, indifference to God, or spiritual laziness in everyday living can cloud our minds with fatal consequences. We are spiritual beings. We are not machines made out of meat designed for the grave. On the one hand, the terrible things of this world present things to us that might push us toward despair. On the other hand, if we obscure who we are by being too busy with the things of this world, well, then we can fall into a deadly presumption, a presumption that everything is fine, that all is well. Even when spiritually we are, in fact, deader than people who might be killed in the attack of a terrorist, for example, or those who are slain in the womb before birth. Just remember, death can come to us at any time in many different ways. So we must be constantly on guard against especially these two deadly traps, the errors, the sins indeed of despair, and on the other hand, presumption. And looking around at the world and being aware of our own problems and sufferings, we could be tempted, very much tempted, to despair. On the other hand, we live in the most comfortable place in the world, don't we? And we can become very presumptuous about our spiritual well-being as well as our physical. Sometimes I think we will fall into the trap of imagining that our salvation is automatic. We can live any way we want, be negligent about God. We can live even a degraded life and presume that no matter what I choose to do or think, well, God will take me to heaven anyway. We live in this world and we live out our lives and we're born and we live, we die. Between birth and death, we experience all sorts of troubles and joys and routines, and sorrows, triumphs, wonderful things. All during our lives, we search also for the reason for why all of those things are happening. Why am I here? What am I supposed to do with my life? Who am I? What am I to myself, to anyone, to God, to you? Where can I find some peace? Where can I find my happiness? We can look and for our happiness and seek it in all sorts of different things. Lots of people, well, I should think that today most people search for happiness in the things of the world. To a certain extent, that's very understandable because things are concrete. We can see them, we can touch them. They are very immediate to us. They're very real to us. But every time we place our trust and our hope and our happiness in something of this world, as good and as beautiful as those things can be, those things will never give the human heart what it needs, ever. They can never provide lasting happiness because those things can be lost. They can fade away. They can be broken. They can be stolen. They can be misplaced. They can wear out. People wear out. And they leave us. We wear out. And people lose us. We leave them. Any created thing can be lost. So if we fix our hope in any created thing, even if that created thing is a person, there will always be some reserve within us, some lack of harmony, something missing, always. And you young people here, if any of you are still awake, listen very carefully. Because wealth and health or power or good looks or reputation or family or friends or anything that we can have here and now goes to the grave, just as we do. We are sinful members of a fallen race, and we and everything around us go away. And on this vigil of Easter, this night which knew the resurrection of the Savior, consider that inevitability of the grave. I spoke of this last night. There is no escape from it. There's no alternative about it. There's no exit from this life without experience of the grave, without experience of death. But if death had been victorious over us, and if there were absolutely nothing more than death, imagine the consequences not only for ourselves, who would go into the void, but imagine the consequences for the entire universe. Were it not for the mighty love of God, who guides all things, we could not take even one breath without despair. Because if it weren't for God, if there weren't any eternal life opened up to us beyond the grave, if the grave were the final and unavoidable finish line, then it would be too terrible to contemplate our fate or the meaninglessness of the entire universe. And in fact, that is how some people live, without any perspective of something beyond the grave, without any concept of a God who is in their lives. Imagine what that would be like to live that way. And imagine what it would be like if that were true. If death was, after all, the victor. Well, we would then go down into the dust, just as all the sons of Adam ever have. But we would remain there. It would be as if we never were, as if we had never lived. And because man is the summit and steward of all the material cosmos, the victory of death would affect the entire universe. Well, we know from physics that the earth eventually is going to end. It'll wear out. It's just a simple matter of entropy, the leveling out of all energy. Our own sun will eventually chill and go to dust. But if death were the ultimate end of human life, then after millions of years and billions of pointless lives, eventually, even the galaxies throughout the depths of space would just cool and stop spinning. If it were not for the risen Jesus, who has promised to come again, to remake us and all things in fire, and give us then to the Father, after entropy had run its course, after countless billions of years, the stars would just wink out one by one, go into the darkness. All the energy of the cosmos would be perfectly and evenly distributed in a hideous imitation of divine harmony. And nothing would ever move again. And there would remain only bleakly cold and absolutely motionless, loveless, endless void. But this is not what is going to happen. It's not our fate. God loves what he made. He made us in his image and his likeness. He made us to share in his own life and glory. He so loved the world that he gave his Son to us. Jesus saved us from our sins. He teaches us who we are, and he gives us purpose for our lives. Christ demonstrates that the grave is not all there is. Now, our Lord took up our humanity in an indestructible bond with his own divinity. And so when he emerged from death and from the tomb, we emerged with him. That would have been that chilling final end of man in a tomb, which itself would have eventually crumbled away, is not our end. Death itself died with the resurrection. And even though we will face the cold of the grave, we have to experience death. Instead of facing the nothingness of the void, a meaningless death, we can raise our faces instead to a glory beyond all imagining. And all that we dream of, and everything we long for, or yearn for, or strive for, all that is good and right and true, all happiness and all holiness and peace and fulfillment, all of this has been opened up to us by Jesus Christ, who paid the price for our sins. And so we have a choice. We can embrace Christ, we can live for life, or we can reject Christ and die in death. Because of Christ, we have this choice. Because of his cross and his resurrection, and all the crosses that we bear in our own lives, all the little crosses, and all the little risings from the evils that we undergo, eventually, in him, our lives and our deaths are transformed. He destined us for glory. He offers us a share of his godly splendor. Our sufferings and difficulties in this life take on a lasting purpose, but they only do so in him. Only in him who is the way, the truth, and the life. The one who demonstrates that the grave is not the goal. And we can reject him. We can choose to reject him through despair or presumption. These two, presumption and despair. Negligence of our Catholic faith through distraction, or through comfort, the loss of hope, maybe under the weight of sorrow. Well, these things are deadly snares, and they're so common in the modern world. We have to beware of them. We have to beware. We must never despair of, or presume about, or disdain even about other people in our lives. And that brings me to a very important point for this vigil of Easter. Here's something which you might take away from here tonight as individuals or families and use every day. Now, last night I spoke about gazing at the cross, at the crucified one, in order to get our grip on what death is and what that means for us, the reality of it. But tonight we need another optic through which we can see ourselves and other people. We need the lenses now of the resurrection. Now imagine for a moment that you have lenses of resurrection, almost like a pair of glasses which you can put on. We can call them resurrection glasses for short. You can put on your resurrection glasses. And you can see all things now, dear Christians, all you baptized Catholic Christians, you can see all things now in the light of the resurrection, not just through the lens of death, but also through the lens of resurrection. You can see other people as God intended them to be, destined for glory. And you can see yourself in clarity, destined for glory. Well, these resurrection glasses are not rosy tinted. In other words, they don't permit self-deception, which can lead you into presumption. They show the beauty of our souls, but they also show us our flaws and failures. These resurrection glasses are certainly not the black kind that blot out everything, like despair. They do not obscure the truth. They are crystal clear. They focus on truth about our flaws, but also give us a beautiful view of our own beauty. They even provide their own light when everything or everyone around us seems filled with shadows and we are terrified. With the lenses of Christ's resurrection, we can see both ourselves when it's difficult to, and others when it's a great challenge in a new way. You can see that we are all made in God's image and likeness, destined for glory. Now, Socrates, the one I was talking about earlier, he said the unexamined life is not worth living. But when we examine it with these lenses, learning to see other people through them too, well, then we begin to see them perhaps as works in progress, but truly loved by God. Well, your families and co-workers, or your wife, or your husband, or your children, maybe your aging parents, are not simply someone else that I have to deal with today. Strangers don't have to be simply annoying. Even enemies don't have to be annoying. That's to fall into the trap of how the modern world sees things, especially that part of the modern world which is tinged by both presumption and despair. You think about, for example, what the 20th century philosopher Sartre said. His great catchphrase was, "Hell is other people." What a ghastly way to look at life. That is the howl of that death that Christ defeated, and the outrage of its culture. This is exactly the attitude that rises up in people and in a society which has no love for God and has no faith and no church and no knowledge or love of Jesus Christ. And so you who are parents, especially you, do you see your children as destined for the resurrection? Whenever you look at them, when they're being sweet and when they're not, give them their Catholic faith in all of its richness. Never show them presumption. Never show them despair. Show them you believe and have hope and that you love. Think of what they are going to have to face in the years to come in a culture so dominated by nihilism and despair. You have to help them never to be disciples of death, but only and always disciples of the risen Lord. With Christ, we can leap up over all these things because he offers us constantly through the church and her sacraments and her teaching a share in his transforming glory. And we can help each other heavenward, starting even now in this world, because each one of us are mighty reflections of the majesty of God when we are in the state of grace. So tonight, that great abyss was bridged. Death itself died. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, our brother in our humanity, but our God in his divinity, the grave is now a door and not just a doom. With these new lenses, we can peer through death, just like Moses peered through that crack, that little crack in the rock, or peer like Thomas did through Christ's wounds at that wound of love. So no matter what besets you in the trials of your life, there is no longer any place, any room for presumption or need for despair. You were known and loved by God from before the creation of the universe, before the sun and stars and earth came into being by the will of God that we heard sung so beautifully earlier. God already loved you before the creation of the universe. He wanted you for himself. And he is risen. And in him all our humanity has risen. And in him we need not die forever.